Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. You all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend. Ugh.
Just in time, back with another show. And our voice guy, he echoes my sentiments.
Again? More?
You also said it was a bore of a week. You really got to pay attention to the play on words right there.
He says oink oink, so hopefully right. you should understand. But yeah, that's The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, our podcast. Welcome to it. Thanks for joining it. Joining us, I shouldn't say it's our podcast because this is the Vocal Minorities podcast, you know?
That's right. It costs you guys nothing out there, so that's good. But yeah, the idea of the Vocal Minority, which started on the radio in 2001 in Seattle, BT Dubs, is sharing with you guys, you know? We did a lot of work to get this little show, so you've got a chance. You can comment on YouTube because we're live right now, just after 3:30 on the West Coast on a beautiful Friday, I assume. And, we got a phone number, too, if you're old school like that.
Yeah, you can use your telephone as a microphone. Dial 844-48-VOCAL. Your chance to get vocal with the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Yes. How has the news treated you this week? I have a lot of people asking about my mental health because we do so much of this. And yeah. I keep explaining that's the only reason I haven't gone insane. Is that I'm doing this for work and I like making fun of this stuff. Otherwise, yeah, I may have gone insane by now.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had a conversation with my liberal-leaning brother from the Midwest this week. And he was saying that he's had to shut it down and he's basically just, allocating maybe 20 minutes over a period of a week to news up and see what's going on so he can stay informed. And I think a lot of people are doing that for better or for worse.
I think it is for worse. I think this is part of Trump's plan. The whole, as we've talked about, overwhelming the news cycle. Like, A, we can't focus on any one story for that long. And B, I think a lot of people like your brother are just like over it. And that's a win for Trump. So that makes me a little sad, but I get it.
It's interesting because he's definitely not over it, but he's disengaging with the fight. And I mean, he often champions the people that are in the fight, realizes the good work they're doing. But he's kind of disengaged himself. Hopefully, I think he's kind of just hoping, like, I hope everyone else takes care of this because it is very wrong.
Well, we got this. Don't worry. You know, as Miss Kennedy always says to me, like, you know, she works in a school and does noble work with small children. Yet she was like, you and Nick, you guys are trying to save democracy. Like, you're doing so much bigger work than I am. And I tend to disagree with that. But I get the sentiment, like, someone's got to fight this fight. And everyone watching and listening right now is part of that. And you guys are all active and vocal, and we appreciate that. But yeah, we're just trying to save democracy. No bigs.
No big whoop. Welcome to the show. You know, it's funny when she says that because I feel like she's my our hype woman because when she says it, I'm like, ha. But, you know, yeah, pump me up a little bit. Keep getting the info out.
Oh, I'll pump you up, baby. It's a Friday after all. Why not? It's pumping time.
Yeah, I guess it is pumping time. So you've made it just in time for a little need to know news. It's a show we do if you're new. It's a political week in review. That's what we're breaking down for you today. Are you ready, Harness?
I'm ready, as I will be.
Right. Okay.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Steve Harness.
Oh, hey, that's me. All right. As always, so many news stories. Where to start? I think martial law is as good a place of any to start off with because that's what seems to have been rolled out this week. I know Trump world is trying not to call it martial law, but I think when the president essentially takes over a city and sends troops into the streets to act as law enforcement in what seems to be a direct violation of the Constitution and a posse comitatus, I think it is martial law.
It is definitely not Hakuna Matata. you know, do you really think that's what's happening? Or do you think he's just trying to replace some medians, maybe a few roads, just cleaning up the city, Steve?
You think they're like drunk drivers out there just picking up trash for the weekend? I mean, that would be a better use, I think, of their time. And on one level, I will say, and I've heard some reporting to this extent, that a lot of these, you know, National Guard or even some of these Army that are being called up, like, they're not thrilled about it. That's not what they signed up to be on the National Guard or in the Army for, to be out there effectively cop, you know, being police and enforcing laws against other Americans. So I feel a little bad for them, but I don't think we have a draft going on right now, right? You can quit.
That's you did. You know what? I have a hard time speaking as if I were in the situation, but I'm 99.9% positive that if those were my orders, I'm bailing, dude. I mean, you did take an oath to the Constitution. Yeah. I think it's unconstitutional. See ya.
Yeah. I guess my only sympathy is a lot of these people are career, you know, Army or whatever, and they've got pensions they're working towards and all that stuff. So I don't know. I'm also surprised some of these D.C. police officers that have essentially been co-opted have not just walked off the job. Same thing. I know they got careers and pensions and all that stuff, but I don't know, transfer to another department or something, because I can't imagine being given that assignment, because we've been seeing it, troops on the streets, and they've done a very minimal amount of arrests. And I don't know, one of them heroically got hit by a sandwich and survived that somehow. So that
was sub sandwich or a tea sandwich. How large was the sandwich?
It looked like a full foot long, not the 6-inch sub. It was a 12-incher. And it was gently thrown at somebody. And Trump world has freaked out. Jeanine Pirino or whatever, former Fox News judge, lawyer, now is in charge of way too much. Like, we're going to stick that there. Tell him to stick that sub where, you know, where he doesn't want to or whatever. Like, jeez. I love that these are the people that have tolerated and basically endorsed the January 6th riots. But throwing a sandwich, that's a bridge too far.
You crossed the line. You know, all of this was obviously announced early in the week. When the videos started coming out, they started creeping in slowly. I thought, oh, this is the real deal. You know, you see the way they're treating the homeless population already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, one of the videos that I watched this morning were them actually just taking these tents in this homeless. It wasn't even an encampment. It was just out on the street, but they're taking them and they're directly throwing them into a garbage truck, you know, that smashes and puts the garbage inside of it.
The homeless people? That seems cool.
The tents, dude, and all their belongings. But there wasn't a lot of checking to make sure there was not a baby in there. I mean, they weren't being very thorough. I was just like, holy crap, man.
Yeah, boy, it's a lot, I tell you. And I have heard some people try to say that essentially, well, D.C. does have a lot of crime, which, first of all, yeah, no kidding. Every major city, of course, has a lot of crime. Washington, D.C., I know the crime stats have been going down, but did you know in the top 20, like most crime-ridden cities in America, Washington, D.C. is not even on there? I think it's somewhere in the mid to upper 20s, but it's not even top 20. So does that mean the other 20 cities should expect martial law soon? And keep in mind, a good chunk of those are in red states.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's an interesting point because you're starting there. And like you said, I don't even think it's in the top 20. If it is, it's not very far down.
It's not.
And some of the stuff that I'm seeing with how dangerous it is there, I mean, you're seeing contrasted stories from different people. Like you said, it's a major city. You know, I have people that live outside of the, you know, in the Midwest or whatever, and they'll come, they'll be like, you know, you guys have a lot of crime here. I'm like, this is a huge population. It's a huge city. What do you expect, dude? The numbers will go up with more people.
Of course. And I know this is a dumb thing to say, but shouldn't we address why people are homeless or why the crime rate might be going up or down? Like, shouldn't we address the root cause? Or no, let's just send the military in the streets and bash people over the head and make arrests and somebody throws a sandwich and protest. And I have seen a lot of people protesting, yelling at them for being fascist and whatnot. And I don't know, man. I mean, that is like a dystopian movie kind of thing where we just have military hanging out on our streets. It is not what America is supposed to be. It's why it's in the Constitution that we don't put our troops on our own streets. It's what police are for.
Yeah. No, 100%. Anytime I've been to a country where there's a military presence around and, you know, people standing around with, you know, AK-47s or whatever, like that is altogether a different feeling from a free America. you know. Yes. And now that we're starting to see it here, like, yeah, I mean, I felt that way in certain situations for short amount of times. Like, holy shit, man, if something goes wrong here, like, that guy could just shoot me for no reason if he wanted to. Right. And we're going to start feeling like that here as this keeps going, you know.
Yeah, it would be maybe one thing if there was some just horrific incident that happened that just shows that there's gangs just doing a couple of 15-year-olds beat up the Doge douchebag Big Balls, and that's what sparked all of this?
Yeah.
Couple of 15-year-olds bloodied my nose, so let's put the military in the streets.
Trump told him, I don't know if you saw, he was like, it was 10-on-1, not a fair fight, a fight that wasn't fair.
15-year-olds. I mean, they can't even drive. So, yeah, I find that hilarious. This sandwich-throwing guy, did you hear? He did work at the Department of Justice.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Literally fed up.
Yes. And, I mean, I would assume some of that was probably internalized. Like, he was working for the DOJ and was probably annoyed on both sides as a citizen of the city and that he's part of that machine. And he snapped and threw the sandwich. And, of course, Pam Bondi the next day found out about it and fired him, even though we now know there are multiple people in the Trump administration that took part in the J6 riots. But they didn't get fired.
Nope. Didn't get fired. And yeah, there was no outrage for that. In fact, it was all excused and everything else. So, you know, it's just, again, I mean, they are always projecting stuff and it only applies when they want it to, you know.
Yeah. And as I mentioned before, our democracy, our country right now is a toy to Trump. And he wants to play with all of his toys. He wants to test his limits like any toddler does. So he wants his own Gestapo, military police, whatever the hell you want to call it. He wants to play army man. And so he's going to see how far he can push the limits. It's what he did in L.A. back in June or whatever that was when he sent the National Guard. And then they stayed there for, you know, for months almost. And so, yeah, I mean, he's just going to keep screwing around with everything to test limits. And the problem is there are no limits. The guardrails are gone. Yeah. His party is completely bending over for him. So, I don't know. We just all sit back and watch things burn.
You're 100% right, dude. Spot on, because you know it completely puts him in the bone zone. Whenever he goes and sees like a, you know, he goes to North Korea and sees a demonstration of how soldiers react, you know, like he loves that shit.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Do the ends justify the means? And I know they normally don't, but I've heard some people say, like, well, if the military's all over the streets, I bet crime will go down.
Listen, where does it stop? You know, you don't get to just put one in there and be like, all right, it's cleaned up, everything back to normal. Like, you've set a new precedent.
Right. And Trump said there would be zero crime, by the way, which... Yeah. It is insane, obviously, but if that's his goal, quote unquote, I mean, it reminds
me of
like,
because with him living there, there could never be zero crime. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have seen lots of jokes that are based in reality that the biggest crime zone in D.C. is the White House. And it's a little bit true with the amount of felons and perverts and rapists and all that stuff working there. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It does remind me, though, of like the Sopranos when they go to a shop owner and are like, hey, you're going to kick us, you know, 10% this month. And the guy doesn't do it. They then break his legs or burn down his home and then he pays. So does that mean the Sopranos are good businessmen because they got the guy to pay? They're making money. I mean, who cares what they had to do to get the money out of the guy?
Completely. Yeah, I think that, you know, we've always talked about a lot of this is a mob mentality. That's nothing new. So that's a good way to look at it. There was a new podcaster that Carolyn Leavitt announced at the White House. He talks about what's wrong and the crime that's running rampant in D.C. Can I play you something?
Sure.
All right. Come here. Come on over. There you go.
We'll start with our new media seat, who is our podcast host today, Benny Johnson. Benny, why don't you kick us off, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Caroline. As a D.C. resident of 15 years, I lived on Capitol Hill. I witnessed so many muggings and so much theft. I lost track. I was carjacked. I have murders on my Ring camera and mass shootings. I witnessed a woman on my block get held up at gunpoint for $20, and my house was set ablaze. Arson.
I seen a blind guy bite a police horse. I once bit into a burrito. and it was a child shooing it. I seen a hooker eat a tire. A pack of wild dogs took over and successfully ran a Wendy's. The sewer people stole my skateboard. The projects I lived in was named after Zachary Taylor. Generally...
Listen, dude, you did a comparison video this week that was phenomenal on Really American. And isn't it funny how many things, even outside of that video you produced, which everyone should go watch if you haven't seen it. It's a great piece. But isn't it crazy how many parallels are running here to people talking about the shit that's going on right now with comedy?
Yeah, what video are you talking about? The Hollywood stuff or
The Simpsons?
The Hollywood has predicted a lot of the stuff. And there's some good things in that video, by the way, things that have happened in the past. But there's a prediction coming up next week from, I know she's an astrologer, but she somehow nailed the fact that Biden was going to quit last year. She nailed the right day he was going to quit on. She nailed that Kamala was going to take over and that Trump was going to win. And now she's saying August 22nd, I believe it was, that some unraveling will be happening. But so stay tuned for that. And yeah, check out that video. But
what
honestly, August 22nd, I do believe.
Okay.
And she had also predicted, I believe it was July, let me look at my calendar. I think it was July, I don't know, 29th, that's what it was, and then August 22nd, that things would happen. Unraveling about Epstein. And July 29th was a big unraveling. It's the day Trump admitted that he knew one of the victims and that she was stolen from him and that he contradicted the timeline. So I don't know. I'm not a huge believer in astrology, but we should all be paying attention August 22nd to see. That's a side note.
That's something.
Back to that video. If Tracy Morgan wasn't black, I would not have noticed the segue from the white guy to Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
I call baloney on that stuff. He's got murders on his ring cam. I would like to see that video, please.
And not murder. Murders.
Oh, yes.
Like, what neighborhood are you living in? And, you know, someone tried to set his house ablaze. I mean, I'm not saying everyone who gets their house just burnt down is a bad person. No, but I'd say it's 50-50. Like, if someone's burning your house down, you've probably done something kind of wrong.
Right. I feel like the guy's saying, like, last week I witnessed 3 murders, 4 rapes, and no one's caught me yet. You know what I mean? Are you the one doing these crimes? Why are you seeing so many crimes?
Who's the guy? I can't think of the guy's name, but he admitted that he doesn't wear a seatbelt in D.C. because he doesn't want to get carjacked.
And, right. I did
so many
see
carjackings.
What would the logic even be there that if you don't wear a seatbelt, that aren't you easier? Isn't it easier to carjack you if you're not strapped in the car?
True. Yeah, I don't know because if he was thinking that like people would jump in the passenger seat and he'd like, oh, I can't get my belt off fast enough to get out or what. I mean, it makes no sense.
Yeah, it's hilarious. City life may not be for some of these people. And I don't know who that podcaster is. I know they're doing all of these special podcasters coming in there. I'm waiting for you or me or Kenny or Brian Tyler Cohen. Like, are you going to invite any progressive liberals or just the right-wing propaganda? That Tim Pool moron was there last week who was bought and paid for by Russia. Like, what sort of crap are you trying to push on us?
It's exactly part of the plan. This is all Project 2025, right? That they create their own media and the own narrative is the only one you hear. So,
Yep. Spot on. All right. Well, what do you got? You want to take the reins here or you want me to go?
No, I can go. Give me 2 seconds to pull this bad boy up.
Sure. We'll all wait.
This is an interesting story. Okay. It didn't even take 2 seconds. So screw you, dude.
I hope it's interesting. This is going to be a boring story, everybody.
This is an iffy story. Did you watch Handmaid's Tale?
No. I mean, I know what the basic premise is, but I don't have Hulu or whatever the hell that thing's on. So I've never gotten into it.
Okay. Great show. Scary show. I remember when Rachel loves it, my wife, and she started telling me, like, this could happen. And it's one of those moments where I was like, no, this can't happen. And we're seeing more things happen, and, you know, it's getting closer. This is an interesting lawsuit that I didn't know happened against Meta. Meta was eavesdropping on apps that track your period, okay? Now, this happened just August 2025, so we're here. San Francisco jury ruled Meta had violated California's Invasion of Privacy Act by collecting intimate health data from users and their period tracking app Flow without their consent. Okay, they were tracking their periods. They were tracking all these things that women had entered of when they were ovulating, you know, how many times they were trying to have a baby or stuff like that. All this personal information. Okay. And a jury found them liable that they did this.
I did not hear that story, and maybe I'm better off for it. Do we have any theory as to why in the hell that would be the sensitive data they're trying to steal from us all?
Well, listen, dude, you know what women are made for, right?
Well, according to the right wing, yes, they're made for cranking out babies and making meat dinner.
So in The Handmaid's Tale, dude, that is all women are good for. So you are kidnapped, you are held hostage, and you're just become a baby-making machine. Mm. It's an interesting connection in all of this as we see Zuckerberg kiss the ring of Donald Trump. And all this stuff is going on behind the scenes, dude.
I assume the women in The Handmaid's Tale are all happy and content. Things are good there.
Right. Just homemakers, dude. Come on. Living the easy life. The jury unanimously answered three key questions. Meta intentionally eavesdropped or recorded users via the electronic device. Yes. Users had a reasonable expectation of privacy and did not consent. Yes. Meta had no consent to gather or record such data. No. So, yeah, they've been found guilty. Each violation under the law will cost Meta $5,000, potentially adding up to billions in damages. Given the scale of the class, was over 3.7 million women.
Wow. Were they tracking your period or mine? Did we get some money? How does that work? Is this sexist? You know, why am I not part of this lawsuit?
Well, because you don't have a – I don't think you – do you have a period?
Well, men do go through hormonal swings every month. And I'm just saying.
I don't think that's what
I'm entitled.
No. Poor men.
That's, why don't we get our fair share?
Yeah, so we're going to see. This case is being seen as landmark for digital health privacy, which, I mean, isn't anything really new when we're talking relatively speaking. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. But it was a big win, and I didn't see anyone really talking about this. So
I have not, no.
Yeah, so when I did, I thought, you know, more people need to know about that. It's funny when you get a new app, or even with your Apple Watch or whatever. Like, I understand we're all being watched, you know, sure, to a certain degree. But when you're putting in very intimate health information, like, you do think that you have some sort of privacy that that you don't. I mean, this is a new world. You can find out anything about anybody.
Yeah, no, it's a whole new level of creepy. And I'm still trying to figure out what the hell they would want to even do with that data, but it's interesting. It does feel a little Handmaid-ish. And did you see the story this week? Maybe it came out on the past week, and about Pete Hegseth has essentially endorsed this religious group out there, who I'd love to say is a fringe group, but they've got churches all over America, 100 plus, and they have one in D.C. And not only does Hegseth attend this church, but he reposted a CNN interview with this pastor. I think his name was Wilson or something. And I mean, it is Handmaid's Tale stuff. They don't think women should be able to vote. They literally said that women should only be making babies. They should not be involved in any decision making and in government or in the church. They think gay marriage should be illegal. And the guy actually said that in the slave master relationship, not all those masters were so bad. Some of them treated the slaves pretty well. So what's your problem?
It's unbelievable, dude. This comes in at a time where there's a show. Where do I watch that show? I think it's on Prime. It's called Shiny Happy People. Okay, they just released season two. The first season of this show was primarily the first half of it. I think it's maybe six episodes. The first three were about the Duggar family. Do you remember who that is?
Weren't they like 29 kids and counting or
21
something?
21 and counting, yeah. That's exactly right.
Right, which is a defect in the brain, okay? Kids are hard enough. 20-something kids. Listen, I don't want to get all Handmaid's Tale here, but we should have a freaking limitation on how many kids somebody can pop out. Not a minimum like China wants or Trump wants, but we should have a maximum.
Listen, dude, this is where all of that stuff that Hegseth is dealing with comes from. So it gets into how powerful this church is across the country and how politically involved and backed financially they are by politicians. Mike Huckabee's a big one. Like, he's very much so involved in this church. And it is, as you keep watching it, like, you think all religion is a cult, and a lot of people do. As you keep watching this, you're like, holy shit, dude. What is happening? How does anyone fall for this? I think you seem like a reasonably intelligent person. Like, how are you answering yes to, yes, I will submit to you, I will have 21 kids for you, you know? It's just crazy. But Shiny Happy People is the name of the series, and it's really, really interesting. The second season I just started, and it's all basically how church is so heavily involved in politics.
Interesting. I hope REM consented to that show title.
Yeah, who knows? We'll have to ask Michael. Michael's tight.
Interesting. I got another story on the same topic, if you're done.
Yeah.
On the topic of abusing women, because that just seems to be a commonplace nowadays in Trump's world. All of this ICE stuff is obviously getting a little out of control. I mean, we've talked about the fact that Trump swore there were millions and millions of just violent immigrants that just have to be deported. That obviously we always knew that was baloney. So now they're having a hard time trying to deport enough people to keep the mega world happy. And this whole thing where ICE is running around with masks on, I don't fully understand it. My assumption is they want to hide their faces so that their friends and neighbors don't know that they're part of this, you know, Gestapo militarized police force out there.
Yeah. So Bill Maher had Dr. Phil.
Years.
Bill Maher had Dr. Phil on his show and asked him. He was like, I've basically known you to be a person who has spent your career trying to help families. And now I see you dressing up and going out with ICE in Texas and trying to pull families apart. And you're doing it. You guys are doing it in masks. Dr. Phil says, yeah, we're doing it in masks because it's dangerous work and people are being doxxed. You know, they're afraid for their lives. I'm like, yeah, how does it feel, dude? How does it feel that people are running scared, but you get to mask up all the time? It's just, it makes zero sense to me that you would be allowed to do that. I thought there was some transparency within law enforcement.
Right. I assumed when you said that, that, you know, on these raids, people are afraid and running. I thought you were talking about the people that are going after, not the actual ICE officers themselves. And
yeah.
And yes, I thought that was an age old thing. The police, especially when you ask them, are required to identify themselves. Yeah. I did a story this week on Really American about a Trump voter. They were down at the southern border looking for camping grounds, and they got pulled over and harassed, and they think it's because they have brown skin. And the guy was saying that when the ICE agents approached the car, the reason he started recording was, A, they were in an unmarked car. They had, I think, the Starsky and Hutch dashboard siren thing, but that they were all wearing masks. And he was like, my brain immediately assumed, who wears masks? Bad guys. We're out here in the middle of nowhere. Like, I think these are people coming to carjack or rob us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy, dude. That is crazy. Yeah. They can be in plain clothes, plain car.
Absolutely. You may recall back in Seattle, you know, Nick and I were on the radio in Seattle for years. And one night when I was going to work for the overnight shift, I got pulled over on a dark, desolate road by an unmarked cop car. This guy came up behind me, started tailgating me. I sped up a little. He was like, you know, trapping me, I felt like. And then he threw the old Starsky and Hutch siren in the dashboard and pulled me over in the middle of nowhere. And I freaked out on him and I started yelling, like, do not approach my car. I want to see a badge. I want to see a uniform. Like, I just got pulled over in the middle of nowhere. And I'm a dude. Yeah. And I got the chief of police for King County to come on the local radio station. And we did a live, like, I think we went on for like 30 or 40 minutes. So I debated the chief of police on the practice of using an unmarked cop car. And ultimately, I got him to admit that at least for women, that it did put them in harm's way, that a woman should keep driving until you get to a gas station or something. And I told him, like, I can't get raped. I can't get mugged. Like, if you're saying it's dangerous for women, why would it not be dangerous for everyone? Why are you doing it?
Yeah, it's got to be equal, dude. It's just got to be equal because it's just a human thing. Like, right. You have a lot of power. We're out in the middle of nowhere. I don't even know that you're real, BT Dubs. So, yeah, I would go to a grocery store, something, you know.
Yes. Well, this exact thing I'm talking about is going on with ICE right now. And the fact that they're allowing their agents to be masked and not identify themselves clearly, because we've heard all sorts of stories of people saying, you know, show me a badge, show me a warrant, show me something. And they just tell them, like, get in the freaking van, an unmarked van. Dudes jump out wearing masks. So multiple men have impersonated ICE agents to kidnap and assault women. These are documented stories going on. Have you heard about this one? Because I haven't heard this yet.
This is aside from Dean Cain. Other people are doing it.
Yes. Okay. And Superman doesn't wear a mask, by the way, just so you know.
No, but Dean Cain does.
Yes. House Democrats are urging the Department of Homeland Security to mandate that immigration officials clearly identify themselves when conducting arrest. The demand comes in the wake of multiple reports of men impersonating ICE agents to kidnap and assault women. The Democratic Women's Caucus demanded this past Monday in a letter sent to Kristi Noem, and they highlight a few cases. There have been at least three instances of men impersonating ICE agents in order to hurt and assault women. And I've also seen stories just of dumbass rednecks that order an ICE thing off Amazon, and they go out and harass immigrants. Just, you know, I'm to deport you. I'm coming for it. You know, I mean, you are opening the door wide for somebody to slap ICE or whatever and put a mask on and, harass immigrants or assault, kidnap, and rape women. ICE is making this possible.
Yeah, and it's, like you said, it's easy because, I mean, there really are, I see a lot of ICE agents pop out, and you wouldn't know any difference from them in a Halloween costume, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, this is dangerous, but the problem is, dude, is that I think, depending on what state you're from, what city you're from, some of these police are okay with this, you know. A lot of those people ride that thin blue line. A lot of those people are MAGA, you know. We got to clean things up. So how do you control it?
Well, you make people show their face and show a badge or show a warrant. Dr. Phil's line is ridiculous. If we're afraid of officers being harassed or doxxed, why isn't that happening to every cop, to every DEA agent, to every FBI agent? Everyone in law enforcement would have that exact same issue. Why is it that only ICE is having this problem and they are the only ones that feel they have to hide their faces?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, dude. I don't know how it's enforceable only behind this current administration. Well, I don't know how it's enforceable. So, yeah, this seems to be this is going to be an ongoing issue, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it is enforceable like so many things, but you're correct. When you have this administration that, you know, laughs at ethics and laws, I mean, it's not illegal if the president is deeming it so. And I know that is not how our country is supposed to work. But what are the consequences going to be? You think an ICE agent's going to get fired right now for, you know, not showing his face or giving the person a warrant or something? I mean, come on.
No, I mean, this is the least of checks and balances right now with ICE agents, you know.
Right. And speaking of ICE, what do you feel about the whole, like, now 18-year-olds can sign up or 98-year-olds? There's no age limitation anymore. So you can be 18, used to be 21, and in a lot of states you have to be 21 to own a firearm. But we're arming 18-year-olds and sending them out in the streets.
Sounds like a good idea to me, dude. Right. When I saw Dean Cain had signed up to become an ICE agent, I was just like, oh, my God, what is happening? This is one of those nightmares where you think 18-year-old kids who haven't ever even been around a gun are going to be ICE agents, and you think they're going to be able to handle this appropriately? Because even if they are going after illegal immigrants, you know what? It's a sensitive, delicate subject, you know, that should be dealt with some, not only due process, obviously, which we haven't seen, but with some empathy and compassion. So, yeah, just signing idiot kids up for it. Not that all kids are idiots, but you know what I mean. It doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, totally. I think Dean Cain is just desperate to get in front of a camera again. And it's not like he's missing any casting calls while he's going out to play ICE agents.
Yeah.
And I did see them post the White House or the DHS or whatever, a picture of him in his Superman costume with an ICE thing on. And I just thought, like, DC Comics has to be calling them right now saying, knock that the hell off. We don't want anything to do with this. As we have seen with the new prison in Indiana, as we have seen with multiple musicians, like, no one wants to be associated with what you people are doing. So stop it already.
Another A-list celebrity to bring in, like Kid Rock, Dean Cain. Like, that's something I wouldn't leave my house for $1 million. You know?
Right. Just freaking hire Kid Rock to just write all the music for all your stupid videos you're doing. I mean, the DHS yesterday, Gnome's World, they posted one video honoring her 200th day on the job, and they used the freaking Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I'm extremely sure those guys aren't mega, so we'll see how long that lasts. And then they put out, did you see this stupid thing? They have custom vehicles that have been painted with ICE logos, but they're in the same color scheme as Trump's plane. So like a black van, gold ICE and red trim, like it's meant to look like Trump's, you know, signature series or whatever. And they've got custom rims, the whole setup. I read today they spent $700,000 on those vehicles for publicity, because none of them are, like, you know, caged off or could carry around, you know, suspects or whatever.
Of
like,
course.
Right.
It's all for the dictator's, you know, ego. Yes. That's all this is about.
And they also put out a rap video, a montage or whatever. So they filmed these things going around D.C. and they set it to a rap artist who, I think it was, his name was like DaBaby or something. But him, it was him and featuring two other rappers. All of them have criminal convictions. One of them was for sexual assault, one for weapons charges. Perfect. So, A, I think it's funny that they're essentially endorsing and hiring convicted felons, because that's, you know, that's on par in, you know, for Trump world, on brand. But also, there were so many racist comments on that video from mega people, like, I love what you're doing, but why are you using that N-word music? What's with all the N-words in this day? Why are we using like, I saw the N-word more times than, like, on a KKK monthly newsletter. So not only are they violating copyright laws or whatever, I'm sure, but they are not doing what their audience is responding to.
Yeah. No, you got to be careful, dude. MAGA is at sometimes a fickle little bitch, because you have to play it just right. You know, you can bring celebrities in, but are they too brown or black? You better be careful.
Telling you to stick with Kid Rock. He's safe. He's dumb and ignorant. So, and I'm sure he's got nothing better to do. Him and Dean Cain could do a whole album together. Those guys have nothing but free time. So.
Be perfect. Hey, did you happen to read at all about what's going on in the with the Smithsonian?
Yeah, with a lot of disgust.
Yeah. You know, revisionist history, taking things out. I think you were the first person to bring to this podcast the first article that started this all off when Trump, it was removed from the museum, his involvings with January 6th, right?
That's it was his impeachment that they took out originally. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Since he set the record for the most ever for a president, and that was somehow removed.
And so, as we were talking about precedent before, that set a precedent that is starting to unfold within the Smithsonian and taking things away. This is a really, you know who Jillian Michaels is? She's from the Biggest Loser.
Yeah, and she's apparently portraying herself now as a gigantic loser. So it's also on brand.
Yeah. She was on a panel on CNN having a conversation with people about, you know, history being changed. And I'm going to play this video for you and I'll see what you think of this.
Okay.
He's gone into the Smithsonian and he's effectively now has some random person deciding what is appropriate for the Smithsonian to teach in terms of American history, things that don't offend parts of the MAGA base, right? So we're now literally reviewing parts of American history and parts of American culture to make sure it comports with Dear Leader and what the MAGA organization
wants. Can we address
wants.
Some of those things that are in there? Because have you looked at some of the things that are being
slavery,
reviewed?
Yeah, slavery was a bad thing that we should talk about.
Okay.
Like, he forgives
he's
me
not
for
whitewashing
that.
Slavery. So
he's not?
He's not. No,
okay.
He's not. And you cannot tie imperialism and racism and slavery to just one race, which is pretty much what every single exhibit does. But let's talk about the fact that when you look at
slavery,
let's talk about the fact
that slavery in America was.
Do you realize that only less than 2% of white Americans owned slaves?
But it was a system of white supremacy.
You realize that slavery is thousands of years old?
White people were
the
slave owners.
Do you know who was the first race to try to end slavery?
We'll continue here, dude, but this is the ultimate version of mansplaining, right? Like, she is talking to brown and black people on this program, on the panel, about slavery. I don't know where she gets off with this, but...
Sorry, I'm very surprised.
This is an extraordinary exercise in historical revisionism.
I'm really surprised. Do you realize that...
Jillian, I'm surprised that you're trying to litigate... who was the beneficiary of slavery and
I'm
who
not.
Was not.
What I'm trying to tell you is
in the context of American history, in the context of American history, what are you saying is incorrect by saying that it was white people oppressing black people?
Every single thing is like, oh, no, this is all because white people bad.
Wow.
Okay.
First of all, what is she implying? That there were a bunch of Latinos back in the day that owned slaves, too? It's not all white people. I'm pretty sure it was exclusively white people. And that stat she threw out, a 2% owned them. First of all, that is highly discredited and debatable. But even if, what are you saying? So the 2%, the richest of the white folk that could afford them, does that make it better somehow? Because the other 98% couldn't afford them or whatever? That's not a big deal.
All fair points. The funny thing about this is that one of her first topics she really started talking about when she slipped into this MAGA role was about transgender women playing or men playing women's sports. Okay. That's actually 2-3% of the population, but you seem to care a whole bunch about that.
Touché.
But when it comes to this, I don't agree with the stat that 2% of white people own slaves. Listen, I know slavery, for all intent and purposes, has been abolished, but there is still very real forms of slavery right here in 2025, you know, that we see every day. It may not be legal slavery, per se, but her discounting all of this is like, I had this conversation with someone close to me. That's in MAGA, okay? And I told him, hey, don't you think you have a lot of white privilege? That was when this conversation, an acknowledgement of where we get some of our privilege comes from.
Yeah.
This guy, dude. No, I didn't grow up with a silver spoon. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, do you think you have some privilege with being white? No, I'm not privileged. I was like, dude, you can't step outside of yourself far enough to see that all of the slavery that she's talking about that ended so long ago, get outside yourself. It's still happening, dude. What are you talking about?
Right. Yeah, just a reminder to everyone listening out there, white privilege does not mean that we all get handed a check for $1 million or something. It means that us being white is not held against us. When you go for a job interview or a bank loan, like, no one's holding it against you. And that would be a form of privilege because other people get their gender ethnicities held against them. So being a white guy, it's not like we're all just handed the keys to a BMW or something. But it just means that that's not something we need to worry about because no one's holding it against us.
Yes. This is on the same bar with dude, with people who didn't want to say Black Lives Matter. Well, all lives matter. Like, does it pain you to separate one group of people that need some spotlight on what's happening in their community right now and say it? Like, what is wrong with you? You can't say stuff that puts you down. And you don't have to look at it as putting you down. It could be a teachable moment. You could learn from it. You could grow from it. But that's, I mean, golly, get back to the Biggest Loser, dude.
Right. If it's not shameful, then why do you care if it's in the history books? I mean, it's part of the history of our country. Why do we want to just paint it to be some rosy thing? And as if in this day and age, like, I understand maybe back in the 1700s, like, if somebody didn't write a book about it, it wasn't going to continue on through history. Everything's pretty well documented, established. We have this thing called the World Wide Web. Like, you can't just get rid of all of this stuff. So what do you think taking it out of the Smithsonian is going to do? Some idiot's going to show up and see what is not there and just say, well, I guess there's no slavery. I guess slaves all liked it because I don't see it in the one freaking museum.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about, dude, that, you know, I don't know. Do you think about some of the stuff that's in our history books, in our museums, is all based on the culture of what was happening at that time? Like, we should be able to mark anything down that was happening in our culture at that time, and it should be in the museum. It should be in there.
Of course. And apparently Jillian Michaels, by the way, has an adopted black daughter. Yeah. Who a lot of people are now freaking out of, like, what are you teaching that poor kid? How are you demeaning or diminishing her cultural heritage? Or what crap are you putting in her brain? Like, is that the classic, like, well, hey, I adopted a black kid, so therefore I'm not racist?
Yeah, it's got to be, dude. I mean, she went on to say in that interview, like, as soon as you, do you know that as soon as you walk into the Smithsonian, there's a pride flag as soon as you walk in? I'm thinking, you bitch. I mean, first of all, you are receiving a lot of the gifts and privileges built on the backs of people who fought a frickin' hard battle to try and get equal rights for you. Like, you have no shame.
Yeah. Does she want to give up her 19th Amendment right to vote? Like, how far back do you want to go there, Jillian?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if she's married or not, but that's on the table now. So, yeah, they'll just keep supporting things that roll against your self-interest. I mean, that's what you guys are good at.
Absolutely. All right. Well, speaking of women that need to be put in their place, and I'm not referring to all women. I'm referring to Jillian Michaels there, needs to be put in okay. place. So does Melania Trump. So Hunter Biden, who I haven't heard speak a lot. Boy, does he sound like his dad. I did a whole video with him yesterday. And he really sounds like his dad, which is both cool and creepy. But he said in an interview like a week ago that Jeffrey Epstein introduced Donald to Melania and vice versa.
Yeah.
And he got that from multiple accounts that have been in the media. A guy named Michael Wolff, who was a biographer of Trump's, wrote about it. Like, he didn't just pull it out of thin air. But Melania Trump freaked the hell out and is now threatening a $1 billion lawsuit.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Like you said, it came from many accounts. Like, it'll be interesting to see them fight this one out. I mean, it's a great use of your energy. So,
well, there's about 100 problems with this whole story. So, first of all, you think your reputation is worth $1 billion, Melania Trump? You're married to one of the skeeziest men on planet Earth, a adjudicated rapist, twice impeached, a convicted felon, someone who's trampling on human rights, trampling the democracy, our Constitution. But somehow none of that has tarnished you. But implying that the guy that we all know, we know that the Epsteins and the Trumps were buddies. They flew on the plane. They partied together. Like, none of that tarnished your reputation, but just saying that Epstein introduced you hurt you so badly that it is worth $1 billion.
What's the rub, dude? You know, honestly, what is the rub with that? Well, like, what's her big issue?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, defamation, especially when you're a public figure, you have to show damage is done to your reputation, jobs lost, income lost, somebody that doesn't want to, you know, have you at their concert or whatever. Like, she can't show any of that crap. And
you also have to show it wasn't true, right?
Right. Yes. And like I said, you know, Hunter Biden got it from reports. And if you want to say, oh, those reports are wrong, how come they're not going after the source? Gee, why are they only going after someone named Biden?
Yeah, of course, dude. They want it. They're still pissed off about the laptop.
Of course. And the fact that his daddy beat up her fake husband in the 2020 election. I mean, and this stupid article came out yesterday where essentially Trump said in an interview, I think with Fox News, that, you know, Melania brought me the lawsuit that she's, you know, talking about. And I told her, yeah, go ahead and go for it. Like, we've been doing well with lawsuits recently. Go for it.
Jeez.
Are you trying to tell me that his claim is that his wife just pulled him into a $1 billion lawsuit because if she has to go through a deposition, so will he, because the thing is the two of them met. So she pulled you into a public relations nightmare and a $1 billion lawsuit, and you're telling me she never ran any of that by you. She told you it after the fact, President of the United States?
Go ahead and get the new carpet, babe. Right. Go ahead and we can get the new sofa.
Yes, get the new sofa and sue my arch rival son for $1 billion and force me into a deposition. And as we've seen with Trump's a million times, they don't go anywhere with these lawsuits because they fear depositions. Because as you know, lawyers get to ask anything they want in a deposition.
Yeah. And it doesn't look too good when you continuously ask Trump stuff in depositions and he pleads the fifth to every single, question. So, yeah, I don't know. This could be more of a distraction away from Epstein and get people just talking about this side of Epstein. Who knows what it's for? But, yeah, I thought it was so funny that she was butthurt. Like, I think it's probably true. And even if it is true, like, what's the rub? Yeah, right. He did introduce me. Doesn't mean you were Ghislaine Maxwell. Doesn't mean you were a sex slave. Like, he introduced you.
It's also just bringing more attention to the whole Epstein thing that I thought Trump was trying to shy away from. So now you want to open up a gigantic lawsuit and go through all these depositions and discovery and produce all these documents? Like, that's not helping anything. Let Hunter Biden say whatever the hell he wants on some YouTube channel I've never heard of. Like, who cares? And did you see his response when he was asked to apologize and retract it?
He was defiant about it, the whole thing.
He said, fuck no, I'm not doing that.
That's a better way to put it.
And that is so succinct. So, kudos to you, Hunter. And Melania Trump, you are not worth $1 billion in any planet, and your reputation is already so far in the hole. She should be suing Donald Trump for destroying her reputation, not Hunter Biden.
Yeah, that would be a better use of her time, for sure.
Yes, and their little fake marriage. She's been in D.C. less than 2 weeks, and not consecutively. Like, if you add up one day at a time, she's been there less than 2 weeks.
You can't blame her, dude. I mean, you really can't.
No, I don't show up for my sham marriage either. I don't know why she would be. Yeah. So.
Hey, dude, since we're on the topic of depositions, are you done with that story?
Yep.
Okay. Since we're on the topic of these depositions, have you seen some of the excerpts that are coming out from this deposition between Bill Maher against Bill Maher and HBO? Laura Loomer was questioned by HBO's attorney. Have you seen any of this stuff?
Yeah, I really want the video of it because I wanted to do something with it, but I've only seen transcripts. But yeah, share some of the highlights because it got a little unhinged, to say the least, which is shocking when you've got a mega podcast host involved in anything.
Yeah, and we're pretty sure that she's getting down to the brown and the pink with Trump, right? I mean, that's the allegations.
There's been a lot of rumors, and there's a classic line from a movie. It was a great movie. It's called Chips. It was a remake of the movie where Ponch and Baker are talking to each other, and Baker's saying that I haven't had sex with my wife in like a year, and Ponch is like, well, who's she having sex with? And he's like, I just said we haven't had sex in a year. And he's like, yeah, so someone's giving it to her. Trump and Melania are clearly not hitting it, so someone's getting it to him.
Well, you're exactly right. Laura Loomer, questioned by HBO's attorney about a comment that she had made regarding Representative Hobbit Foot Marjorie Taylor Greene that referenced Arby's in her pants. I'm going to tell you how the exchange goes here.
I like it already. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so attorney, why were you talking about the Arby's in her pants? Loomer. Well, it's just an expression. Attorney. What's the expression trying to convey? Loomer. It conveys the reason why she got a divorce by her own admission. Lawyer. Because she had roast beef in her pants? Loomer. Yeah. Attorney. She'd put roast beef in her pants. That's what you're trying to say there? You literally are saying she put Arby's in her pants? Loomer. I'm saying she literally... This is so ridiculous. This is all part of it. It's so ridiculous. I'm saying she literally put Arby's in her pants. Yes.
That's not what she's saying, though. Why would she say that? I'm literally saying she has Arby's in her pants.
It's a defamation.
She's trying to say she has a terrible hoo-ha, right? I mean.
Yes, of course, dude.
And I've never heard that expression, by the way. Like, you know, the sun will come out tomorrow. So, oh, yeah, you got Arby's in your pants. Common expression. My mom used to say it all the time.
Yes, dude. I've heard roast beef, but to really nail it down to a franchise, is great.
Poor Arby's. Yeah.
It went on, part of it went on, and she was talking about the fact that, yes, she does walk around with Arby's in her pants. The lawyer continued to be like, you're saying that she puts Arby sandwiches in her pants and walks around. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Welcome to America in the year 2025. This is what we're doing. And that woman is a advisor to the friggin' president.
when you wonder in this country why law, the courts are so backed up, like this is the exact reason. Right. There's so many bullshit cases and suits out there.
Yeah, I can't see. I can't wait to see how that all unfolds. And I really do want the video. I mean, those are going to be classic clips coming from that.
Completely, dude. It'll be really good.
Well, speaking of celebrity news, we got a couple of minutes left. What did you think about the Kennedy Center Honors? Something that is normally, you know, a relatively, prestigious sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a joke. You know, I watched most of that live, and it was painful to get through it.
Yeah, I like the Price is Right women he had behind him unveiling the picture.
The pictures. And why is everything on poster board? Is this not an electronic world, dude, where we can like, put a screen up? He loves that little board.
Right.
But yeah, yes. Come on, dude. Gloria Gaynor made the cut.
Well, she's a survivor. She will survive, right?
She will survive. I wonder how she feels about it. You know, that's what I wonder. These people have, he said, there were lots of liberals, you know, that were brought to me. And he was like, no, I'm not going to, it's new. We're not woke. We're not going woke. So are all these people MAGA?
That's a great question. I mean, George Strait, country guy, one would assume, but that could just be an assumption. Gloria Gaynor, I have no idea. I mean, Trump is so nostalgic for the 70s and 80s. I feel like that's just what he was drawing from. Or maybe that's all his dementia can remember, since people with that issue can't remember more current events. They can only remember stuff.
That's a good point, dude. Yeah.
So, we do know the Kiss, you know, that also got inducted, or they've badmouthed Trump before. So I don't know if just nobody told Trump that and he just wanted a rock band and Kiss he could remember from his, you know, New York City days or something.
Yeah. Who knows? Because they have badmouthed him before. So who knows? You heard him. Did you ever hear him introduce Kiss?
Yeah. I mean, you were telling me about it. I did see the video. But yeah, it describe how he set them up.
What was the one that, oh yeah, he was like, oh yeah, this is the setup. We're inducting the great band of Kiss, a legendary band. You know, they made a lot of money. They're really good people. I like them. They
something like I force on 13-year-olds all the time.
No Kiss. So he starts, introducing them. I mean, they didn't come up, but he's like Gene Simmons of Kiss and, Paul Stanley and Ace Frehley. I was just like, no, dude, you don't know. You've never met these guys.
And of course. Come on. You think he can name one song, let alone know how to pronounce Ace Frehley correctly? As if Frehley is some, you know, exotic word or something.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's spelled F-R-E-E-L-Y. Like, I don't know what else you would pronounce that. But the funny story that came out, and, you know, on the topic of did any woke people turn him down or did he try to bring someone that, you know, before he knew if they would say yes or no? Like, so the story came out yesterday that they offered a Kennedy Center award to none other than Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise said, nah, I'll pass. No, thanks.
Jumping on Oprah's couch. Crazy Tom Cruise passed.
Yeah, Scientology cult member, the guy who's trying to kill himself, apparently, with all of these stunts that he does not need to do but keeps doing. And even though he's crazy, I do like Tom Cruise as an actor. I don't want to hear his opinions on religion or whatever, but he is a good actor, and he's been perceived as a cool guy for all of these years. And Scientology thing bothers me, but who cares? I don't hear him preaching that, you know, a lot anyways. Yeah. But, yeah, that is freaking hilarious because Trump would have loved to have – arguably top three biggest movie stars on the planet be part of that. And Tom Cruise told him, I got a scheduling conflict that day. I can't be there. As Maverick. If anyone else was there.
You're right. You would have loved to have him just as me. He would have been saluting him and, you know, do a flyby on the tower.
They offered him to parachute in. He still said no. Like, it didn't know. They couldn't entice him in any way whatsoever. So
good. Yeah, more people need to do it, dude. More people need to stand up and do that.
Well, we've talked about before. Trump wants to be one of the cool kids. He does not like it when famous actors, famous rock stars denounce him because he wants to be part of that club. So he would have loved Tom Cruise. And the fact that Tom Cruise, who I've never heard a political opinion out of, I don't know if he's a Democrat or Republican. He's one of these people that kind of keeps it to himself.
Yeah.
But he did not want to be up, you know, have anything to do with this. I'm pretty sure if Obama had offered him one, he probably would have found time in his schedule.
Yes, of course. You think about it too, dude, where, you know, he'll say all these nice things about Kiss. Wonderful people, greatest band of all time. And then as soon as Kiss say, like, oh, we're not down with Trump, he's like, failures, the ratings are low, you know, haven't had a hit in a long time.
Of course.
It just goes, he goes with the wind so much. It's incredible to me.
He's still a drifter. Pissed off at Taylor Swift and everything, Bruce Springsteen, of course. I mean, the list goes on and on. So, yeah. Hey, listen, there's a lot of comments on the YouTube page right now, and I appreciate everyone in there. Yeah, my brain's hurting today, so I'm not able to multitask and read all these. But
that's all right. Well, thanks to the chat for entertaining everyone in there, and thanks for listening to the podcast. Really quickly. Do you have any thoughts on if Ukraine has had a ceasefire happen, you know, in the last 5 minutes?
No. I mean, I don't know what the hell is going to come out of that summit. I mean, Putin could twist and turn him all day long. And, you know, Hillary Clinton came out yesterday, or maybe it was today, and basically said that, you know, listen, if Trump can actually negotiate a fair settlement where he's not just giving away Ukraine or bending over, then sure, I'll nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, he's got the potential, I suppose, but do I trust his art of the deal negotiating skills to not get taken advantage of by Putin, or to have Putin, you know, deliver on whatever promises he's made? Of course not. I mean, why would you?
Yeah, we've seen the track record already. He said early in the week, I'll know in 2 minutes if something's going to get done or not. Right. And they kept walking down that tarmac together. So, you know, hopefully something is going to happen, but it's doubtful.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, real quick, I'll just read a couple of comments. Somebody's saying we should boycott the Smithsonian. That's nice. Jillian Michaels, truly clueless. Next, she will say dinosaurs didn't exist. Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Melania wrote a book. She sold 2 copies. Arby's should sue for defamation. Gloria Gaynor should have said no. I don't think so. Dukes of Hazzard actor should have been on the list. I don't know how Kevin Sorbo and Dean Cain did get passed over. That's quite the jab. So,
yeah.
And we need to start calling Trump Boss Hogg. He really does look like Boss Hogg, actually. So
he does, dude. And his ankles are getting more and more swollen. Did you see him walking on that tarmac today? Like it looked like he was wearing bell bottoms. You know,
King
like,
Cankles.
Not well. Yeah,
exactly. Someone says Putin will play Trump like a fiddle. Yeah. And we appreciate everyone chiming in and the support. And yeah, we're live now, but this will be archived. So comment once it's archived and we can go through some of those in more detail.
Indeed. And as always, thanks for staying in the fight, being part of the resistance, and for joining us on this podcast. We do it for right now anyway, once a week, just kind of give you some political in review.
Yep. And you can find our socials. We're on TikTok. We have our own YouTube, but we're on the Really American page too, obviously. Facebook, Blue Sky. We're on Blue Sky too. So check all that stuff out.
All right. Have a good weekend, y'all. We'll see you later, Harness.
Peace.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.